very, very difficult to get into a parsha like Vayakol Pekudei, which seems to just be repetition, where there's nothing new, where everything is just again and again. Now, granted, this is not like the Sichas Av De'Avos that we mentioned in Parshas Chayesara. If you look very carefully, Reb Chaim Kanievsky points it out very well. There are some major differences between Vayakol Pekudei and what happens in Truma Tetzada. Major differences in which it's clear that what was written before the Egel Azov and what was written after the Egel Azov in some way, and even according to those Shitas, there's a Truma Tetzada way of looking at it and a Vayakol Pekudei way of looking at it. There's no question. But there's still... It's always something that's interesting. Why is there such a repetition here, such a, so to speak, just as if we have to go over everything again, when we're spending so few time and so many halachos and so many things where we have to learn from diyukim and ramazim and everything like that, but yet for the Mishkan we go over it again, everything all over, and the details of everything. What's the issue with that? What do we have to learn from that? There's a Ramban, there's a Rabbeinu Bachai, there's a Sfatemes. I'm going to concentrate on something the Rav Avram Shor says in this week's parsha, and he says something amazing. He says, and really this is from a Zohar, when Adam Rishon sinned, he did not just bring death into the world. Death was not the only thing that came into the world. Death was one of the things that were brought into the world. But along with death came the concept of boredom. Came the concept of feeling and looking old, and came the concept of missing spontaneity, missing what needs to be done in order for people to feel excited. That once the chait of Adam Rishon came along, once he ate from that Eitz Hadas, then all of a sudden people felt like they were bored. People felt like they were getting old. And although there's a Maamar Chazal that Avraham Avinu was the first person to look old more than anybody else, nonetheless, there was still an ageness to the person. You could still look at a person, if you looked carefully, you could see that age creeping in on him, or it was there, even if he didn't have the exact look that we have today. Here was what Avraham Avinu was able to do. He was able to bring into the world the concept of Yischadshus. Because although there were monotheists, there was no question that Yeshivas Shein Be'Ever existed. There were people that believed in God. And there were many people that believed in God. But it was such a droll to be able to go and to learn or to do what you had to do. You just sort of did it because you knew you had to, and you knew that there was a God, and you knew that you were poor, and you sort of just did it because you were in jail, and you were a slave, and you're doing what you need to do in order to survive. That's the way the world was, and that's the way the world ran. And when things got up and people were tired of that, that's when the Mabul happened. That's when Dor HaPlugah happened. That's when the Dor Enosh happened. When people were tired of the board of the conundrum, when everything was just taking too much for them. It was too much. So that's when they started breaking out and started doing a little bit more. So Avraham Avinu brought his chadshus into the world. And that's what made him so popular. That's what made him so great. He went out to the world and he preached, but it wasn't like a preacher getting out on a soapbox going around. He was showing people the way to live life, how to be happy, how to find God through the world that we're living in, and to be happy about it, to really feel it, to know what's there and to know what to be happy about. See, that freshness was something that was missing in the world, and that Avraham Avinu was able to find easily. That concept is the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim was the showbread, which was 9-day-old bread at best. In fact, there's a Maril Diskin in this week's Parsha that says, since we mentioned the Lechem Aponim over here, it was made 2.5 months earlier than when the Mishkan was built. Meaning, when Bezalel collected all the things for the Mishkan, and he had the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, and everything, after everything was made, it sat there from Hanukkah until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Lechem Aponim was also made on Hanukkah. The Lechem Aponim stayed there on Hanukkah and waited for however long from the end, Teves, Shvat, Adar, all the way to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then that's when the Lechem Aponim was ate. That's when they ate it. Which means it was 3 month old bread. 3 month old bread that they used for the Lechem Aponim. And yet, as we all know, it was fresh as anything. It was still fresh. It still had that freshness to it. And that's the way it is by Klal Yisrael. Things might look like it's stale on the outside. Things might look like there's something wrong on the outside. But nonetheless, there's a freshness. There's a newness to us. There's something that we should feel, that we could feel if we put ourselves to it, when you're trying to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that leads to a question, Rosh Shor asks. Says, so what happened in Mitzrayim? Vayakom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim. The word chodosh should not be used, he says, in reference to a non-Jewish king. The word chadash can only be used by us. We have these chadashos. We're the one who have the newness. But by somebody by them, it shouldn't be that way. They don't have that newness. They don't have that freshness, seemingly. They don't have that uniqueness, especially in Mitzrayim. Why was it that way? See, my answer would simply have been that Mitzrayim, they felt like it was brand new every day when they were doing something wrong. A new sin was like a new world to them, and everybody felt something, and that's why Vayakam Melech Chadash. But I hear what Rav Shor is saying. Rav Shor is saying that the word Chadash connotes something good, a good newness, a good freshness, a tahor dik idea. And that's the idea. So what does this mean exactly? How could it be Vayakam Melech Chadash Mitzrayim? How did they get that? So the answer is that when Avraham Avinu passed away, there was still a Yitzchak. And Yitzchak, although his methodology and his teachings were very different, his way of spreading across the word of monotheism was different, it still showed the freshness and the newness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Avinu as well, and even the Shvatim. But when the Shvatim passed away, so that's when Rashi says, when Yaakov Avinu passed away, and really the Shvatim, it depends on how you look at it, this Tzaras HaShibud started. Whether there was the actual servitude or not, Levi passed away with 117 years to go, and Chazal say there were 86 years of Avdos in Mitzrayim. But they felt something different. Something was gone from that freshness, from this newness. Even when Yaakov Avinu passed away, they could feel it. If something was gone, they didn't have the same kick to their step. They no longer learned with the same blend. They no longer davened in the same way. It wasn't the same when the Shvatim passed away, and they were left with those who were after the Shvatim, meaning all of great people. Kahatz was still around, Amram was around, and the great people that were living at the time, it still wasn't the same. They didn't feel that freshness, they didn't feel that newness, they didn't feel anything. And in Mitzrayim, when they went down, they lost it. It went to the other nations of the world. The other nations started feeling that freshness. They felt that they were something new, that there was something good about them. And they grabbed on the discussion and sort of surrounded it with their tumah. The concept, the labas, the flame of the Jew, the pintel yid as they call it, was surrounded by the suffer. And that became siv lo sum. Samach and Mem on the outside, Beis Lam itself on the inside, the Labas surrounded by the Sultan. That they had grabbed it, they took it on for themselves, they allowed themselves to have something that nobody else had, and that was the Pshat. There was something amazing that they took for themselves, and we didn't get it back until we were ready to leave Mitzrayim, and we got the Parsha of HaKodesh HaZelochem. HaKodesh HaZelochem, which refers to Yitzchatshus. Only by the Geula, then we felt like there was something good, like there was something for us to live for. That's when these Yitzchatshus came to us and we had Chodesh HaZelochem. So that's what happened in Mitzrayim. That's what we have to understand. Kiddush HaKodesh is tremendous. I understand it. But how is that new? The moon goes through the exact same phases every single month. It waxes and wanes. Waxes toward the end of the month. It waxes, in the beginning of the month, and it wanes toward the end of the month. Every single month. Nothing changes when it comes to that. In fact, that would define boredom. We are going through the same thing over and over and over and over again. So why would that, the new moon, represent Yitzchatshus, the newness of a Jew? Had they never seen the new moon before? Had they never seen the moon go up and then go down? What does that mean? Why that over anything else? Why wouldn't it be something else, something that happens brand new every single time, something brand new that occurs in this world? So there's an amazing morrow. An amazing morrow. And the Maral asks, why the Chagim all revolve around working the fields? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, when you reap the barley, when you reap the wheat, when you gather in the grain from the fields, everything revolves around something that has to do with the fields. What's the Shaitis? Why is that considered something good that we should connect to? Why is that something big? And he says the following is the Maral. And very apropos, this is what the Maral holds regarding everything, that this is the idea. Whenever something happens down here, it's more, it shows you something is going on in Shemayim. So when you're gathering in the new grain, that doesn't mean just stop, I'm just gathering in the grain, I'm doing something for myself. What that means is that not only am I gathering grain, something in Shemayim is happening where there's something new going on. And in Shemayim, just like this is a new season, a new arena, something new that I've come to, something happens, something clicks on in Shemayim that causes hischadshus, a new feeling of renewal to come down to the world. Did you feel any better about today when you walked outside? When it was a warmer day outside than it has been for weeks? Did you feel a little bit of a kick to your step when you're walking out, that instead of huddling over with a little coat on you, with a scarf on you, did you feel something a little bit new? See, it happens every year. It's not like this is a shocker to anyone. After winter comes spring. That happens every time until the polar ice caps melt and we all die. But until that point, everything's going to remain pretty much the same for all time. We all know that's going to happen, right? Everybody. So why do you feel it? Why do you get affected by it? When spring comes in and the trees start growing again, there's always that feeling of, I gotta play baseball or soccer. There's something that hits you, that throws in. So what is it? What is it exactly? Because it's not just down here. When things start to grow, when things happen, when things change, there's something that happens in Shemayim as well. It's not coincidental that Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot fall out during the times when we reap and when we gather in the grain. It's not that. It's because that's the time when we reap and we gather in. That's why these chagim happen. That's the pshat. See, it's different with Purim and Hanukkah. Purim and Hanukkah are really shayach to that zman. Of course they are. They're mamashayach. But we call Pesach, instead of saying that it's the time when we left Mitzrayim, which of course is also involved, it's more than that. It's Pesach is the zman. It's supposed to be the zman katzir. And so to a Shavuot, and Zchagotzit is how Sukkot is called. That's not coincidental. That's because that was the zman for things to become new. Therefore, the Chagim happened on those days, so to speak. Obviously, he's Takovo, right? So Bariyama, you could look at it the other way. Because he wanted those Chagim, therefore he made the seasons happen during those times. That's the other way of looking at it. But regardless, that's the idea. See, it's HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. The idea of the new moon is the same way. At the beginning of the month, when the moon is new and it's starting to wax and it's starting to go up, that is the time when we change. That's the time when we have the ability to do something. That's what it means by Kiddush HaChodesh. We're Mekadesh HaChodesh every month. We're not making a joke out of it. Where we see it in our calendar, we're saying, like, oh, it's coming up soon, and therefore, we're going to go up in the Bima, we're going to face it. That's not it. That's not what's going on here. It's what we're saying. We have a chance. We have a chance right now to accept upon ourselves to do something new, to act in a different way, to act with excitement. Are you ready for it? Rosh Chodesh is all about that. Build yourself up. And we know that toward the end of the month, it starts getting bad a little bit. And we know that the moon is starting to wane. But this is how it happens. Every single time, there's something in Shemayim that makes the beginning of a month a chag. Something special. Something new. Something that you can feel. And that's the idea of Lachem, where it's given over to you. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is the idea. It's take advantage of the new situations that are given to you in any month, in every given month, to be able to use it for the right thing. Golus, and us being in exile, is without a question, it's old, it's boring, and we have problems. You can't find excitement. Whenever we've been in Golus, it's been this way. There's no Beis HaMikdash to excite us. There's nothing there. We may have made a Mikdash Ma'at by making a Shol, a Beis Medrash, by having the ability, but it's very hard to find it there. Very hard to find that Yisrachus. Only when you have the full HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, where you can find that unit, that comes in. And that, obviously, that takes care of Gematrias for you. So if you want to see the Rabbeinu Ephraim, HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem is a Gematria of Mashiach ben David. I mean, 424. That's the obvious added-on Gematria that you can add on for over here to understand what that is. But it's amazing that this Parsha of Vayakhel really is the same way. See, we need this. We need to remind ourselves sometimes that when things get a little down, and when it seems like I don't find any excitement in my day, and I don't know what to do, I'm bored. I keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, and I'm not, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I can keep learning the same Gemara. I want to learn a new Gemara. I want to start. You want to start 23 Masechtos and never finish any of them, never get past Daf Dalet. I hear that. The newness is there, but you have to work your way through that. You have to understand, there's a newness you can get even within the old, so to speak. Even within the things you're on. So let's give an example. We know that Eliezer Eved Avraham had the exact same thing happen to him. And by Yaakov, it's kind of hard to see. But by Eliezer, you can really see it. What did Chazal say about Eliezer Eved Avraham? We go through the whole parasha. Eliezer Eved Avraham goes down to Rivka, he sees everything, and then he gets to Bisuel. Bisuel says, "So what happened?" And Eliezer says, "Let me tell you. Well, I sat by Avraham Avinu, and you made me swear, and then I came to the well, and then I met your daughter Rivka, and then..." Come on. Why do we have to go through that again? Again, this is a huge parasha. It's about 67 psukim. That's mentioned in Chayis Torah. Why are we going through everything again? So what did Chazal say in it? What's the line? What is the line? The Maimar Chazal that go along with Eliezer. Why do we repeat the story of Eliezer when we don't know any of the halachos? There's an amazing line. Because we all know, Sichas Avdei Avos, the talk of the Avodim, the servants of our Avos, is greater in a way than Divrei Torah. I don't know about you guys, but if somebody would have said that to me in the Beis Medrash, I would have punched him in the face and thrown him out of the Beis Medrash. Because that's the silliest line I've ever heard. What in the world does that mean? Sichas Avdei Avos is greater than Divrei Torah. No, it isn't. It isn't. Simply put, it is not. It's not true. It's not true. No matter how you look at it, there's no way. How could it possibly be that Sichas Avdei Avos is greater than any mitzvah of the Torah? Of course you'd want to learn more about the mitzvahs. Don't I want it? Isn't the mitzvahs are the main point of everything. The mitzvahs are the way to get to there, I understand. But even Sichas Avdei Avos is not teaching me Musar in that regard, is it? The answer is, it's different. If they're Avdei Avos, if they're the fathers, right, the ones who are starting everything new, this is what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were known for. Making everything new. See, it's one thing to do a mitzvah every morning because you know you have to. You put on tefillin every single day and you keep going with the monotony of life because that's the way things are. The Avos didn't act that way. They woke up in the morning and they were excited. Should I get to put on tefillin? If they put on tefillin. They got up, they jumped up, they put on tefillin, they put on their tzitzis, they davened. They really did it. They meant it. They went through their whole world, the whole day, with something exciting, something there. And the Avodim of the Avos saw that. It wasn't just stomp to the Avos. It wasn't just a life that you had to live through and just get through until you get to 120 and hopefully you get to Gan Eden. No, it wasn't that way. Life is great. Every part of it. I can live every single second that way. And that's how Eliezer lives his life. The reason why we go through it is because he was so excited to go through his day. For him, that wasn't boring. His whole life meant something to himself. So he was able to say it over, and it was exciting. And he told it over, and he said it not because he was bored, not because he wanted to sleep his way through life. Because he said, "This is what my life is. My life is, I went to the well, I got up, I did this, I did that. This is my life." And although love on it may have been bored to pieces, maybe he was sleeping through that schmooze. Maybe Basua was sitting there and saying, "I don't know," maybe having a little bit of food, waiting for Eliezer. Eliezer was so excited he wanted to say it before he ate. That's the way a person's supposed to be. That's what it means. It's one thing to do a mitzvah. It's another thing to do the mitzvah as an Eved of the Avos would do it. And that's why it's so important. To show that he wasn't bored. He wasn't upset. See, this parsha by Yaakov Akude is one of the greatest ma'asim that Bnei Yisrael has ever done. We didn't mess up. Not one bit. Nobody. Not anyone. They were excited to hear it back. When they said, "Donate," and we did. And when they got everything in 2 days. And then Ephraim were the only ones who didn't bring anything because they said, "We'll bring everything that's missing," and there was nothing missing. That's when Ephraim had to bring it at the very end with the stones, etc. But Esau wanted to hear it again and again and again. To them that was exciting. We made it. We made it. Lahavdil, a billion Abdullahs. Lahavdil. If you are the player in a basketball game who makes the shot at the very end of the game, you want to see it again and again and again. The same way that people will watch Christian Laettner hit that, when was the last time that word was used in the Beis Medrash, hitting a shot from the free throw line to be able to win in the semifinals of an NCAA game, a turnaround miracle shot, and they'll watch it again and again and again, and they'll watch a dunk, and they'll watch it, whatever it is, people will see it again and again and again, because to that, it's exciting, even if you see it again, you're just like, oh, and you see it from a different angle, and you're looking around, and you're seeing it from this way. Now, I heard, on a side note, The NBA tried something new this year. I haven't seen it, but I heard that they tried something new called, they tried 4D. That instead of doing the regular things, like the regular, you know, here's how he dunked the ball, they have cameras everywhere, and they replay it for you in 4D. So you can watch it from all sides. Like, as he's dunking it, you're seeing it from, like, everywhere around. You're not just standing watching a one person dunking, you're seeing, it's sort of like a roundabout camera. It's so pathetic. Like, I gotta see from that side. Like, you really need to see it from all sides to see what he's doing. But yeah, that's the way it is. You're so excited to see LeBron James take that ball. You're talking about a guy take that ball and slam it home right in front of everybody. You gotta see it from every side possible. Everything. I gotta know. There, he did it again. And that's that. See, it's so different. It's so different. Again, if you love it, if it's exciting to you, then you'll do everything you can to do it again and again. And that's what it felt like to Eliezer. That was different. He looked at life and he said, I want to. I'd tell it a third time if I could. If somebody asked me, I'll tell it a third time. It's different. And that's why, by the way, he might have told it a third time. When Eliezer got back, Avram Avinu asked him what happened. But by Avram, of course it was new. See, he allowed Eliezer to say whatever he wanted. Can you imagine if the Torah would have done it a third time and Eliezer said, so you'll hear, I went to the well. Third time. But that's the way it was for Eliezer. He's willing to tell it over. This is my life. This is what I have. That's how you get over Chazara. If Chazara to you is just going over what you did before, then of course you don't want to do it. Why would you ever want to go over Shir again if it's just something that you're planning on forgetting? If that's not something you want to do, then why bother? Why bother? Don't. Don't do it. It's going to waste your time. You're going to be upset. You're going to be angry at me. You're going to go off the derech because I told you to do Chazara. That's the thing I don't want. I want you to feel like you should do Chazara. I want you to feel like it's not that I missed anything. It's that was so awesome. And that's something that literally is going to change my life around. Therefore, I want to do it again. That's the way you should look at it. And if you do look at it that way, everything is different. Everything. Your whole life. You get home and your wife says to you, how's your day today? No. What was your life like today? What did you do today? One of the greatest things my wife has ever done, and I mentioned it in Moser Shmuz 2 years ago, one of the greatest things she's ever done, well, marry me is number one, but the second greatest thing that she might have ever, kids. But aside from that, if you go down the list a little bit, it's going ahead and understanding that when you come home, we say to our kids, what happened today? What was your best part of the day? What was your hardest part of the day? Not worst, hardest part of the day. What happened today? See, I know what I was like as a high school kid because my parents didn't start it until I was 14, 15, and they asked me, so how was your day? And I was like, And then I went ahead and I took my, you know, cookie and milk and went to obviously learn a little bit more, right? So that's what ended up happening. But now, you say it over to a kid, listen to a kid go through his day. He might not remember details, he might remember the weirdest details of his day, but listen to a kid. He's like, yeah, so I walked into class and I sat down in my seat. No! What else? Well, when I sat down in my seat, I picked up my pencil. Like, they're excited! Because every part to them is like brand new. I didn't do this before, I haven't had this before. That's the way it should be. That's Sichas Abdiavos. You want to get Sichas Abdiavos now? Go look at a kid. Go watch a kid. Watch him do anything. Where he's scurrying this way, scurrying that way, scurrying the deck. Always. There's no walking by a little kid. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. As soon as they learn how to walk, they don't learn how to walk. They learn how to run. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. And this is the idea over here. You want to bring the Yitzhara, you need more Parshios like Parshios Vayakel. You need more Parshios like this. More Parshios to go over it again. For you to say, so why? Why am I doing this? And the answer is so obvious. Must be because I want to. Because I want to. Because I want to see it again. Then you break out of your boredom. Try it. Honestly, try it. See if you can find something exciting in your life and go with it. And try it. See what you can find. This is the only way. The only way to feel that excitement of the day. Only way. Especially in the middle of the winter. Especially when it's an over year. And you have an extra month added on where it should have been Purim 3 days ago. I understand it. So work a little bit harder. You all can. We'll stop with this. Have a good show.